It's November 21st, 2017. It's Tuesday, and it's about 12:55 p.m. And I'm up here in Joshua Tree doing a hike. I'm only going to go about 10 miles because I don't feel well, and I haven't felt very well in weeks, months, years. I don't know. It's getting worse. But there's several things going on here. One is I have a canopy above me of solid chemtrails, solid aerosols, and they keep on applying more lines everywhere. The sun, you know, blocked, and I'm in a sea of lifelessness. Basically, the most of the plant life is dead up here. The yucca are doing very poorly. The smoke trees, these hardy shrubs, woody shrubs, they're one of the last holdouts before death takes hold from the heavy metal bombardment, the ultraviolet radiation, UVC, and the lack of precipitation. These are the last ones. You can tell that they're not doing well because most of their leaves are brown, and they're tiny little oily little leaves, and they smell like smoke when you pee on them or when it rains. When it rains in the desert in an area like this, or in most desert areas, the air is pungent with these aromas from the plants. It's just incredible, really. But a few more years of this, I don't know if they got 500 planes operating in the United States. I'm not sure. They've got a lot, probably double that number of tanker jets just dumping and dumping and dumping. And I've already mentioned that the spraying is toxic to beneficial soil microbes. It's toxic to insects. And so we've seen a precipitous decline of about 90% in insects and in soil microbes. And most of these microbes are symbiotic. I mean, they do a lot of things that are necessary for plant health. And then the metals themselves are viewed as toxic by the plants. And so plants are, they stop uptaking nutrients and even water to make sure they don't, to ensure that they don't get a toxic load of barium, strontium, aluminum, whatever else is in there in this nanoparticulate form. And so it's just a vicious cycle. It's similar to how I don't want to breathe, how I'm not able to breathe or get excited or aspire emotionally or intellectually or exercise or seek a higher vibration in the presence of EMF. I just want to shut down. But if all you do is shut down and don't breathe, there's overeating and other things that go along with it. But it's a long, slow spiral downward into death. And so I'm on a similar trajectory as these plants. I would hike to the top of the Cottonwoods, which is not a big deal. It's maybe 1,000 feet up from here, but it's too hot still. I mean, it's, what did I say, November 21st, and we haven't had, I don't think this area has seen a rain since maybe May or June, and that was just light. But it's too hot. It was 70, it's almost 90 degrees, 3,000 feet below me in Coachella Valley, and so up here it's in the 70s. It'll be pushing 80 today, and normally we would have 40s and 50s up here as highs at this point, but no. But when it's warm, you can't be sure that the snakes are asleep, and so one of the benefits of staying on a wide dirt road or dirt trail like this is that snakes are more visible. And of course, it's easier on your joints, and that's another matter. There are no trails in this area, and so when you make a beeline to a summit, you're just forging your own path. And there's steep sections, and this, because there is so little vegetation, there's a lot of loose rubble that hasn't been secured by roots or soil, and so you're likely, you know, I routinely slip and twist my knees and my joints, my ankles. Things get strained on the ascent up the mountain here, and when you're overweight like I am, I read through a journal entry about a lady I was interacting with, and you know, 17 years ago in 2000, and I weighed 180 pounds. That's 34 pounds and less than what I weigh right now. I weighed 214 this morning. I did weigh 209 maybe a week and a half ago. But I'm not, you know, I wasn't able to maintain that. I do need to get back down into, you know, I do want to lose weight, but anyways, it's a lot of factors that need to be in place for that to happen in a sustainable and coordinated fashion. But yeah, being heavy doesn't help when you're, you know, the heavier you are, the more traumatizing and burdensome any movement you have is on your joints. And so I probably want to be, you know, 10 or 15 pounds lighter, you know, before I would want to make that ascent. And hell, you know, if I get back to 190 or in the 180s again before I die, that would be marvelous. When I weighed 180, that was pretty much around the peak of my kind of flirting with a few ladies in Hawaii, one in particular. And so I was revving myself up emotionally, physically, sexually, and I was attracting quite a bit of attention. I was looking at my notes, and you know, on a faculty of about 40 teachers, seven of them, females, had told me that they had dreams about me. I mean, that was huge. I mean, this is women coming forward, telling you that they're dreaming about you, just voluntarily. It wasn't like I sent out a survey, but when you're spinning rapidly and you're making yourself as attractive as possible, you know, in pursuit of a higher motive, a higher objective, you know, that is the emancipation of all beings, becoming as beautiful and healthful and as charismatic and as helpful and compassionate as possible, you know, it's just highly attractive. And so I was getting a lot of positive attention then. I still do, but, you know, it's more subdued, and California is certainly, you know, is no Hawaii. Yeah, I think in some ways, I don't know, you go back and forth on this, but, you know, some people are shut down more here. I think I was arguing the reverse when I was there. California was more stimulating and stimulated. But anyway, so here I am walking on a flat trail under a canopy of heavy metals. Too hot to go climb up to the top of the mountain, and I'm actually too tired and heavy to do that. And so I'm just shooting for 10 miles round trip. And the point is just to get away from the cell tower that has become truly noxious to me. It's about a half mile from the house that I'm living at. And So this is respite. And I'm doing it right now during this Thanksgiving break. I'm doing it every other day. Any other notes? No, I'm just old, getting old fast. Getting more gray. Having a hard time keeping my stomach flat. You know, I'm having more more of a gut overhang. I don't like it. I don't want it. Probably 10 pounds of fat stuck in there somewhere. And definitely want to reduce that. And then I think I'm making progress. You know, I've got the money together to purchase a radio frequency enclosure of some sort. Got one company making some plans, or if that doesn't work out, then I'm gonna buy a used one. But they're 10, 20, 30 grand, depending on what you're buying and the various accessories. But this will be a metal box with a special door, and then special filtering for incoming air, incoming Ethernet for, you know, internet and telephone and electricity. And if all things go well, I would say by the end of January, I'm hoping at the latest, this structure will be erected. My mother has graciously given up her living room for this project until, you know, my precious metals investments turn around. I've got a sizable chunk of my, you know, past investments I rolled up into gold and silver back in 2008, and then continuing to make buys up through today. But you know, a lot of it, a good amount of my silver purchases were in the $30 to $40 range, which is double the price that silver is at right now. So what I'm saying is that, you know, what I invested in greedily, hoping to make a quick buck, you know, that is, I was betting on the demise of the US dollar, which would have gone down faster, except that it's, as Catherine Austin Fitz says, you know, it's a military matter. We're forcing other countries to purchase oil in dollars. And therefore, you know, we're able to, because of this, we're able to export our inflation and really maintain a dollar hegemony, you know, in the world. But it's on the wane. You know, there's all these bilateral agreements between, you know, China and Russia, China and Brazil, and all these other, China and Australia, where they can settle international trade in monetary instruments other than US dollars. And also, yeah, we will eventually, the dollar will go into decline, which won't be good for the living standard here in the US, but it's a comeuppance, it's a correction that needs to occur. It's a debt-based system. You know, the Rothschilds own basically the entire world's central banking system. The only countries that don't use a Rothschild-owned central bank are, guess what? Iran and North Korea. So those two countries are constantly being scandalized in the media. Libya and Iraq were asserting independence along those lines, you know, in terms of gold and moving away from the US dollar. And those two dictatorships that were relatively benign, certainly compared to what exists right there in the power vacuum that replaced them, you know, certainly were much more benign than what we see right now. And so they were taken out, murdered, executed, tortured, what have you. by U.S. or U.S. proxies. But anyways, I'll move out. The land that I have in the high desert, I've got a few parcels. I want to develop those. But it kind of is waiting for my investments to turn around and actually for the right job to manifest. And sadly, with the, you know, what it was when I moved to California, when I moved in 2005, there are far fewer towers than there are now. And I've, some of these HR departments for school districts have gotten tired of me. You know, basically I told them that I was, you know, out of, you know, a certain number of schools, there's only a much smaller number, a fourth of those that I was willing to work at due to EMF sensitivities. And in this one district that pays well, that would put me close to my property, of the three schools that I was willing to work at, it's down to basically one now, but they have declining enrollment. And the last time I emailed the HR lady, you know, the technician, she's higher up than that, quasi-administrator, I didn't get a response. So I don't really know. You know, I might be stuck in the area that I am. And the school that I teach at is, I had originally given it like a C+ or so rating. So it's not horrible, but it's not somewhere where I'd want to be for 5 or 10 years. But it looks like that's exactly what's happening. And so, at the very least, I need to get where I'm living under, you know, I need to make it safer for me. And my hope is that inside this metal structure, I'll be able to resume the step aerobic routines that I was doing back in 2000, you know, when I was really quite fit. And the type of movements I'm doing with my legs on the step bench, my joints were doing great. I was very flexible, had a lot of mobility, you know, range of mobility. And then because I'm using hand weights and leg weights, I was quite defined. And so when I had that foray, anyways, I did go out for a year or two with this Seventh-day Adventist woman who is quite a piece of work. But I just had, a sexual axe to grind, and I ground it. But, that's a whole nother book, that the subject of my relationship with her. She had 4 kids. Crazy husband who's passed away now, but it was just a very toxic situation, and I jumped right into it, kind of self-destructively, I think. You know, you get bored socially in the islands, especially if you're in a rural area like I was. It was really not much to choose from. And most people really did have, they were low vibration. I mean, the higher vibration, the greater intelligence, social awareness, often comes in more urban areas. You know, I think just this laid back sort of unconscious mindset that predominates wasn't my thing, but. Yeah, I want to do step aerobics inside this RF enclosure. And my hope is that I can do it twice a day. I can start feeling healthy again. And it'll add light quality of life and health and longevity to me. And I'll lose some weight. And so that's just what I'm hoping. Because thousands of more satellites have gone up, and I have had some very pretty deep ascertainments or readings in some remote areas where I shouldn't be picking up on any frequency pollution, but I am, and markedly more so than I used to. And so it's my belief that there's a deployment of satellites, low orbiting satellites, for like global Wi-Fi or something to that effect, a ubiquitous higher exposure for communication and surveillance. And so, while I still want to be hiking in nature, with the deployment and proliferation of satellite technologies, it's less physically and spiritually and subtly rewarding for me. And so, therefore, all the more reason to, focus on exercising inside an enclosure that blocks everything, and see if I can't make the most of that. In which case, my greatest, my largest concern in that unit, apart from the aesthetics and the lack of visible, light that will be stimulating to me, use as much full spectrum or so-called full spectrum lighting as I can, but it'll be the moisture that I create, because moisture and metal don't mix, and the venting is metal, and so I'm going to have a dehumidifier inside this thing, and an air conditioner, portable air conditioner, to keep it cool so I sweat as little as possible. But when you're exercising, the intention is to sweat. So that'll be the main thing, making sure that these metal vents that are formed in such a way as to block EMF but to allow air to come through. I don't want them to get rusted and have the attenuating function, the EMF blocking or reflecting characteristic or function of these filters. I don't want them compromised, but then you just have the guy or the team come out, every year or two to test the unit and make sure everything's going good for you. And that's really it. Just do my walk and hopefully feel better for it, despite inhaling all the toxic material and being exposed to high levels of UVC. Because there's patches of where it's less obscured, but the sun is intense. It's an intense burning that you feel whenever you have your sun exposed to it, and that's because it's genetic, it's damaging your DNA. The ultraviolet C is a genotoxic spectrum or band in the spectrum. That's why we want an ozone layer, but this canopy is arresting free oxygen and stopping it from rising to the top of the air column at 80,000-100,000 feet, where it can where it creates more ozone. So our ozone layer is being depleted by the spraying, as well as in addition to many other negative effects. Over and out.